Hebrews chapter 11. By faith we understand. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he had condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive, after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. This is the theme of this chapter is faith. Numerous examples of faith are given throughout this, and continue on even where I stopped, of the obedience by faith. Each of these, it says, by faith he did this. By faith, he did that. And each act of faith was doing something that had to have some supernatural, unhuman element to the thing, to have the thing fulfilled. Something that was beyond human capability. And then notice it says, for by it, verse 2, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is an essential element in the walk of the Christian, the Christian walk. And we look at these things. It says, Abel, look at verse 4 here. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. The word excellent means superior. of a high quality or standard. Excellent in and of itself suggests something beyond. But it says Abel's offering was a more excellent. That pushes it up even higher than he did by faith. Enoch bypassed death by faith. He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God translated him from earth to heaven, just like that, by faith. Abraham, his walk, he gave up everything in leaving the Ur of the Chaldees on a command, a call from God. That's all he had. This idolater, his family were idolaters. He was an idolater. There's nothing to suggest Abraham knew anything about God until God spoke to him and said, "Why don't you leave everything and come after me?" By faith. He gave it up all, his home, his inheritance, his people, to follow God, to inherit everything. And then he did it again when called upon to offer up Isaac by faith. "This is my only begotten son. You want me to sacrifice him, God? I don't understand it. Doesn't make sense to me. But if that's what you want, God," and with the knife poised above him, ready to plunge it into his chest as a sacrifice, God stopped him. Again, he gave it all up. And God gave it back by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen. You go back to Genesis and you read, the Bible tells us that it had never rained until the windows of heaven were opened in Noah's day. Since it had never rained, there had never been any such thing called a flood. God's warning Noah of things not seen as yet. Things completely foreign to his understanding, his experience. But it says he was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by faith. All these things done by faith. And by it, they obtained a good report. Faith is essential to our walk and our relationship with God. This chapter begins by describing faith. Let's look at verse 1 again. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." When I was about between 10 and 12 years old, I had my tonsils out. But on that same day, I was the oldest of six, on that same day, the four oldest in my family also had their tonsils out. Me at 10 to 12, my sister would have been 8 to 10, the next one would have been something there, and the youngest one would have been 4 to 6. And I don't remember exactly what the ages were. I was the first one, 8 o'clock that morning or whatever time it was, I was the first one to be operated on. And I don't remember what time it was I woke up that morning, but I was not feeling very good. I remembered it was days before I could even eat anything. My brother, who was 4 to 6 years old at this time, was the last one to be operated on, probably about noon, somewhere in that time frame. Supper time came along, and they gave him a popsicle to eat. He said, "I don't want that. I want some food." He wanted substance. He wanted something that had something to it, not just a popsicle. He was hungry. And it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's something tangible. That's something you can almost grab. By faith, you can grab hold of that. The substance of things hoped for. That describes faith. Though not yet known, as though you already possessed it. though it's not been experienced, the confidence and assurance that that thing will come to pass. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Then it goes on and says, it's the evidence of things not seen. And we see that demonstrated here as I spoke about Noah there, the things that were completely foreign to him, completely unknown to any man whatsoever. Yet God said, this will be, and it says, moved with fear, he prepared that ark to saving of his house. Faith. Because God said it. That's all that's needed is for God to state it and his people respond. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith described. But I want you to see verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which, wait a minute, did I read that wrong? We're not made of things which do appear. By faith we understand. You can't prove creationism. It's impossible. It's understood by faith. Now, evolution is ridiculous. The whole concept, it's not scientific. It takes as much or more faith to believe that. But you can't prove creation. In fact, so many of the things about our Christian life, you can't prove. Prove that you're saved. Can't do it. It says, by faith, we understand. Think about that. By faith, we understand. Faith is a key that unlocks all that God has for us. That the switch that turns the light on to our understanding. By faith. Look at Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 and verse 6. This is that council in Jerusalem as they've been, Paul and Barnabas have been called there to try to settle the issue of the Gentiles and what's going on, and do they need to conform to the Old Testament law, or is God doing something different? In verse 6 it says this of Acts 15, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. He's referring back to Acts chapter 10, where Cornelius was saved. Cornelius had seen that vision, and God had said, you send to Peter, I can't remember where it was. But so send to get Peter to come and he'll tell you. And that's what Peter's talking about. He came and he preached them, and Cornelius and those of his house got saved. Verse 8, and God which knoweth the hearts bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the number, well, it's not there. But it's he says their hearts are purified by faith. That's what our salvation rests upon, faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Probably most, if not all of us, quote it, but it doesn't hurt to go and look at the passage. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In my own testimony, you know, I raised Roman Catholic, 23 years old, was the first time I ever held a Bible in my hands. That coworker put that book in my hands. I began to read it, and God began to speak to me from the pages of this book, to reveal to me my wicked condition and my need of a Savior. But I didn't understand. I didn't know what I needed to do to gain. And I wasn't even sure what I needed to gain. I just knew I needed to somehow make things right with God. And I kept reading this book. And I spent several days just every night after work reading and reading and reading. And the more I read, the more the conviction came in my heart that I was in trouble, but I didn't know what to do about it. And I made that appointment with my co-worker's pastor and spent several hours that Saturday afternoon in his office. And he's going over the scriptures. And we got down on our knees and we prayed probably at least three or four different times. And each time I got up and I said, nothing happened. Because it didn't. Even though I'd had the scriptures presented to me, even though I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me, I knew nothing happened. I wanted something. I needed something. I knew that I needed, but there was something that was missing. Walked into that church the next day on his invitation. Sat there and listened to him preach that message. And then something began to happen. Responded to the altar call. Went down there. A man took me downstairs, showed me from the Word of God, same scriptures a pastor had spent hours with the day before. But something was different. You know what it was? Faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached. I'd had the gospel preached to me. I'd had the Word of God opened before me. And that pastor spent time talking to me and showing me and assuring me from the Scriptures that God loved me, God cared about me, God wanted to save me. But the one important element was missing. For unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. In them that heard it. By faith, we understand. And as George Gorton took me downstairs in that church that morning and opened the Bible once again and said, would you like to pray? I said, yes, I would. And with the faith came the understanding. And I walked out of that church that morning a different man. The Word of God, the Holy Ghost, and faith all work together. By faith, I understood. By faith, you know you're saved. As I struggled with eternal security for about a year and a half after that, it came back to, what does this book say? Oh, I could point to the change in my life and the drugs that I wasn't doing anymore and the haircut that I'd gotten and the change in my vocabulary and all those things. But that's not what saved me. That was the result of my salvation. You know what saved me? Putting my faith in what God said. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou confess with thy mouth, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sitting there at Tennessee Temple in 1977, I sat there, I heard Don Jennings preach, and there was something in the message that spoke to me about this being the proof of my salvation. That I had done what God had told me to do. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did I do that? Yes. Did God save me? He said He would. He promised it. I put my faith in what the book said. What God had told me through this book. Faith. By faith, we understand. Everything there is about our Christian life is to be by faith. Faith in what God has told us through His Word. By faith, I'm justified. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of law. Verse 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. I'm saved by faith. I am just before God. All my sins are taken away. I stand before Him, the account is cleared, the sins are removed as far as the east is from the west through the blood of Jesus Christ. I stand justified before God by faith. By faith I understand. I've got God's righteousness. Look at Romans 3 and verse 22. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. I've got God's righteousness applied to my account. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, my actions may not always be righteous. But as God sees me through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am righteous. Because when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, He took my sin and placed it upon Himself. All my sin. Past, present, future. All my sin placed upon Him, and He clothed me in His righteousness. And that's how God sees me now. As righteous before Him because of Jesus Christ. By faith. By faith, I'm sanctified. Look at Acts chapter 28. Yeah, this is a point that some Christians are messed up on. Because they seem to think somehow that their sanctification is dependent upon them and what they do. That's not right. Acts 28, verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appia. I'm in the wrong chapter. No, that's right. Yeah. Now I lost my place. Okay. A pay of foreman and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Verse 16, Acts 28. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said to them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem under the hands of the Romans. Who? That is wrong. Well, go to Hebrews 10. I know I can find that one there. Let me do that quick. Hebrews chapter 10. Talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he says, starting in verse 1, For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereto perfect. Then go down to verse 8. Above when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, which not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. How are you sanctified? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. His one sacrifice for all of my sins has sanctified me. But read on. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Watch this. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Who's sanctified? Those who are partakers of the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all your sin. And the verses I was looking for in Acts, maybe it's chapter 25, but it talked about we're sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. I'm justified. I'm righteous. I'm sanctified. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. The salvation that we've got is by faith. Period. Nothing added to it. Nothing comes after that. I am saved by faith. If there's anything added to it, that is a false gospel. And your salvation's a fraud. If there's anything that you can do to add to your salvation, it's false. Because it's by faith. By faith, we understand. Faith is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation upon which my salvation rests. But look, our faith is to continue. That trust in what God has said is to continue throughout our lives. Like I said, I got eternal security nailed down when I put my faith in what God said. I didn't worry about my feelings. I dismissed that. I dismissed the idea that because of the changes in my life, then I must be saved. Because those things kind of fade with time. It's been 38 years. I still pretty much remember, but still, it's different. But one thing hasn't changed. This book. What God has commanded. What God has written for us. And I place my faith in something that doesn't change. And something that time won't cause to fade. Faith in what God has said. By faith, we understand. My faith is essential to my access to God. Romans 5:1 says, we're justified by faith by whom we have access to God. What an amazing thought that is. That at any moment, I can drop to my knees or even driving down the road in my car without closing my eyes, I'm transported to the very presence of God. I've got His ear. He is attentive to what I say. By faith, I have access. That's not something you can grab hold of. That's not something you can see. But I trust by faith in that truth. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's what I was saved by. And that's how God wants me to continue to live my life in my relationship with Him. Just like Noah, by faith, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. That Abraham, by faith, when he was called of God, left the Ur of the Chaldees to go to receive what God had for him. By faith. And through the rest of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Sarah, whose womb was dead, Abraham, whose loins were dead, conceived seed. By faith. That doesn't make sense. Doesn't have to. Not with God. It doesn't make sense that Peter could walk on the water. It doesn't make sense that Jesus Christ could turn water into wine. It doesn't make sense that Jesus Christ, dying on the cross and shedding His blood, could pay for my sins. It's not by sense. It's not by human logic. It's by faith. Trusting what He said. And I am to live the rest of my life understanding by faith, not by my sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. But this idea of living by faith is repeated again in Galatians 3:11 and Hebrews chapter 10. By faith. My life as a child of God is to be a life of faith. Or something's wrong. And my view of this world, my understanding, comes by faith. Look at a verse behind me. The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple. By faith we understand that the worlds were made by the Word of God. You won't get that anywhere but there. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. By faith I understand from the Word of God and the Holy Ghost enlighten me. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I believe Paul had a glimpse. Later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about a man in Christ, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Such one caught up to the third heaven to see things that were unlawful for him to utter. I believe Paul was talking about himself. It could have been when he was stoned and left outside of Damascus for dead that he had that experience. He says, I can't tell you if I was actually transported there or if it was just a vision that God gave me. In the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But he says, I was there and I saw some things. And he says, I can't tell you about it. But he says, your eye hasn't seen it. Your ear hasn't heard it. The things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Paul saw it. And he goes on, he says, but God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. For we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God wants us to know some things. Over in Ephesians 1 verse 18, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. By faith in the Word of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But by faith, through the Word of God, and the lightning of the Spirit of God, we get that understanding as we compare spiritual things with spiritual. Well, this is a spiritual thing. I can attest to that from those days before I got saved, as I opened the pages. As I said, I never had a Bible in my hands. I didn't know Genesis from Revelation. I had no concept of Old and New Testament. My coworker said, here, read this. I can't answer all your questions. You'll find them there. And God began to deal with me and show me some things. And as I said before, one of the first verses I read was 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Doth not even nature teach you that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? And my hair was down to my shoulders. And over, God just met with me through the pages of this book. And by faith, I began to understand some things that I needed to get right with God. And God wants to continue that walk with each of us after salvation. But it comes through the pages of this book. How much time you spend in it, folks? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Ephesians chapter 6, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And by faith, you'll understand. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. There's an article just this week about the Big Bang supposedly supporting creation. You know, I don't need that article. I don't care what they prove. I mean, fine if they do, but I don't care. I've got the proof I need by faith. Because I am to walk by faith, not by sight. And we Christians sometimes get caught up in this idea that somehow we need this outside affirmation. Well, now, if you need that outside affirmation, where's your faith? What are you trusting? God? Or man? Man's going to let you down. We're to walk by faith. Faith in God's creative acts. Faith in God's purpose in our life. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Our understanding comes from our trust in God. And you go back and you think about, again, the ones we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. How do you know that was more excellent? By faith. There's nothing in the Scriptures that tells us, other than the example that God had given by slaying the animal to clothe Adam and Eve. That's the only thing that we can point to that Abel would know. But for Noah, what did he know? Just what God told him. There's a flood coming, Noah. And the only way for you and your family to survive is build that ark. 120 years he was building that thing. mocked, ridiculed, ignored. But he kept building. And he kept preaching. He was called a preacher of righteousness by faith. We don't need, we shouldn't need the affirmation, folks. We should just trust Him. And there's things in our everyday lives. As Dean's been talking about child rearing in Sunday school. There's things about child rearing in this book that we need to apply. Because God said that's what works. And the court systems and the world systems are against you on that. And they're going to fight you on that thing. Right? But you need to do what the book says. And let God worry about the consequences. Well, what if? Faith. We need to learn to trust Him, folks. In every area of our lives. To put our faith in what this book says. Regardless. Because the conventional thinking in Noah's day was, you're nuts. The conventional thinking of Abraham's day was, you're not, where are you going? Oh, God told me to go over here. Who's God? Not sure, but I'm going to follow Him. By faith. How's your life lived today? What are you trusting in? Where's your confidence? Is it in a retirement fund? Is it in your job, your own reasoning, your own figuring out things? Or is it by faith? Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, the disciples prayed, increase our faith. And Father, I need that. Because I'm just as human as, or more so than anybody else here this morning. And sometimes struggle with things. God, help us. Help me. To truly live a life of faith. We're so tempted to try to lean on our own understanding, to lean on how we can figure it out and work it out and plot the course and see how the future is going to play out. There's no way we can see it all, but You can. You know it. And God, may we learn to trust You more completely. Father, if there's any here this morning that have never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior to take away their sins. Speak to that heart. Help them to see and to know and understand the one sacrifice You have made for all their sins by Your shed blood. And may they be drawn to You this morning through Your Word. God, challenge Your people, I pray. Help us, God, to live a life of faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.